Please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that John read for us, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm focusing primarily, in fact, exclusively this evening, in verse 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and looking at this resolution that the Apostle Paul made before he entered the city of Corinth to preach to them. And he says there in chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The Apostle Paul visited the city of Corinth during his second missionary journey. He had set out with this intention of visiting the Galatian churches that he had planted during the first missionary journey. And then, guided by the Holy Spirit, he had gone across what is today Turkey and entered into Greece, guided by a vision that he and his companions felt had come from the Lord. And they made their way through what is Greece today, and they'd gone through Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, and he ended up in Corinth, and he stayed there for 18 months. And he tells us in this verse that before he entered this city, it was almost like he could see the city there in the distance, and he paused on the road before he entered the city, and he meditated on what is he going to say to these intellectuals in Greece, these people who'd never heard of Christianity, never heard of Christ, because they were all Greeks. And so he paused and he thought, now, what am I going to say when I get there? And it's a resolution he came to. It's a very powerful word there in verse 2. I resolved, I decided, I made this decision, when I come to your city, I'm not going to preach anything else except Christ and Him crucified. And in doing so, he has set a pattern for all missionary work. When you look at missionary work, there are many expressions of it. When God sends His children into the world to do mission, they don't all do the same thing. But they all ultimately have this goal that through my life, through my words, through my actions, Christ and Him crucified will be made known. I'm going on this mission field to preach Christ and Him crucified. And it is, in a sense, not just a pattern for all missionaries, it is a pattern for all churches. On the 8th of June, 2008, we began a brand new church in the Kawangware slum of Nairobi. We decided we were going to plant a church, and on the 8th of June was our very first meeting. We were hiring a building. We began our building, our meetings, and this was the text that I preached from. And I say to the brethren who'd gathered there, we were a team doing this church planting work, and I say to them, "Brethren, our task is this, to preach Christ and Him crucified." Now, this evening, I want to look at this verse 2, and I want to ask three very simple questions. I want to ask, firstly, what does it mean to preach Christ crucified? And then I want to ask the second question, why must we preach Christ and Him crucified? And then thirdly, I want to ask the question, what is the outcome when we preach Christ and Him crucified? What does it mean? Why? And what is the outcome when we preach Christ and Him crucified? First point then, what does it mean to preach Christ and Him crucified? Well, to preach Christ and Him crucified means to preach His saving work. It is to preach the work that He primarily came to do here on earth. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus came to live as an example for His people, undoubtedly. He came to live his life that we may see here an example of how we are to devote ourselves to God, how we are to do good to the world, how we are to live a life that honors and glorifies God. Undoubtedly, his life was an example, but that was not the primary purpose for his coming. You remember the words of Paul when he wrote to Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Aim number one, goal number one, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so when we preach Christ, we preach his saving work. And we say to people, Christ came to redeem those who are slaves of sin. He came to shed his blood, that those who are in slavery to sin, held in thrall by sin, held captive by sin, just as the Israelites were held captive by the Egyptians at the beginning of Exodus, so those who are held captive by sin and dazzled by the apparent pleasures of sin, Christ shed his blood that they might be redeemed, they might be set out, that they might be bought out of that, they might be set free from slavery to sin. And we say to people, Christ came to cleanse those who have been made filthy, unclean by sin. Because sin is this element, this thing that makes us unclean, unacceptable in the sight of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to cleanse his people. And we say to people, Christ Jesus came to remove the wrath that God had upon those who are in their sin. Because God is holy, and God loves holiness, and God loves righteousness, and God loves cleanliness, moral cleanliness. And those who live in sin, he's not indifferent to them. It's not as if he doesn't care what sort of life they lead. The Bible tells us that the wrath of God, the anger of God, the judgment of God rests upon those who are in their sin. And when the Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the anger of God that was due upon his people was poured out upon the Lord Jesus on the cross. And we, in a sense, stand behind the cross and are therefore sheltered from the wrath of God as it is poured out upon the Lord Jesus. Some years ago, I was visiting a place on the Kenya-Sudan border, and they showed me a dry riverbed, and they said in the rainy season, there's a torrent of river flowing through here. And in the middle of this riverbed, there was a tree, a high tree standing there. And they told me this story. They said one time there was a flash storm, an equatorial thunderstorm. And when that happens, the water comes very quickly. And they said there was a child right in the middle of the river. And suddenly the water came. And there was no time, because it's quite a wide river, no time to run to the banks. And his father shouted at him, "Stand behind the tree." And so the boy stood behind the tree, and the waves crashed into this tree and went round him, and he was kept safe. I think he stood there for many hours until the water had all gone, and then he went back to the banks. And as they told me that story, this picture came to my mind. We stand behind the cross, and the wrath of God crashes onto the Savior as he hung upon that cross, and we are protected. And praise God, that wrath is extinguished. It is now spent. God, if you are saved today, will never have wrath upon you. You may face trials in life and you may think God is angry with me. If you are saved, God is not angry with you. His anger has been extinguished. It has been exhausted because he poured it out upon his Son. And so we preach that Christ Jesus came to remove the anger of God. He came to cleanse us. He came to redeem us from slavery to sin. He came to pay the penalty for our sins. He came to reconcile us to God. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting our transgressions against us. This is what it means to preach the cross. It means to examine all the various elements of the cross. Why did Jesus die? Why did he shed his blood? What was the purpose of it? And the purpose of it was cleansing and redemption. Excuse a long word, propitiation and redemption and reconciliation to God the Father. If you're a believer today, you need to meditate on the cross of Calvary. Because the cross is a place of encouragement. The cross is a place of comfort. And the cross is a place where we see the Christian life in its proper perspective. You see, if I don't think about the cross and I face trials in my life, I mean, imagine tomorrow if I go to the doctor and he says you've got a terminal illness and you're going to die in a few months. Now, you see, if I don't see things from the perspective of the cross, well, you see, I'm beginning to think maybe God hates me. Maybe God is angry with me. Maybe some of those sins that I've committed in Nairobi, and God has kept a record of them, and God is now pouring out his wrath upon them. But the cross brings me comfort. There is no wrath of God upon me. There is no judgment of God upon me. Christ has taken it. He has removed it. And I have salvation, the forgiveness of sins. If you're a believer today, meditate much on the cross of Calvary. It will bring you comfort. And if you are not a believer today, I have actually some rather terrible news for you. I know it's politically incorrect to tell people bad news, and we want to affirm people and say nice things and so on. But I have to tell you this. If you are not a believer today, you are a slave of sin. And you are under the wrath of God. The judgment of God rests upon you. And you are unclean and unacceptable in the sight of God. And you owe a debt because of the penalty that your sins have incurred. You need Christ. You can't cleanse yourself. You can't release yourself from the bondage to sin. You can't remove the anger of God that rests upon you by your own works and actions. And you certainly can't pay the penalty that is due from you. You need Christ. And you need to come to him. And you need to ask him to save you and forgive you and redeem you and bring you out from that slavery of to sin and into his kingdom. What does it mean to preach Christ crucified? It means to preach his saving work in all its full glory. And then the second question I want to look at. Why? Why is it that Paul, before he entered the city of Corinth, made this resolution? Why is it that he paused outside the city and decided, I'm going to preach Christ crucified? You see, he knew the effect of it. He knew they would think him a fool, which is what they did. Because the city of Corinth in those days was like most Greek cities. It was full of intellectuals. I mean, you remember when he was in Athens, and there at the Areopagus were these Greek philosophers. And they discussed intellectual philosophy. They were the highly educated, highly intellectual people who loved discussing various nebulous ideas. Now, Paul doesn't go into the city with intellectual philosophy. He tells them about an obscure Jew in some obscure corner of the Roman Empire who had been found guilty through an unfair trial, but been found guilty and had been crucified. Now, to a bunch of intellectuals, that sounds like complete foolishness. In fact, in Athens, they say to him, what is this babbler trying to say? But Paul knew he had to preach this. Why? Why is it we must preach Christ crucified? Well, I want to give you two reasons from the Bible. And the first is this, because the only way of salvation is Christ crucified. There is no other way to be saved. There is no other way our sins can be forgiven except through the cross of Christ. There is no other way the wrath of God that rests upon all sinners can be removed except through the cross of Christ. There is no other way we can be cleansed from the filth of sin except through the blood shed upon the cross of Christ. There's no way we can be redeemed from slavery to sin except through the blood that was shed upon the cross of Christ. There is no way of salvation and forgiveness and redemption and reconciliation to God except through the cross of Christ. Again, I'm aware this is politically unacceptable. And we love to have this idea that all religions lead to God. And we love to have this idea that God is like someone on the mountaintop, and there are all these different ways. So you follow Islam and I follow Hinduism and he follows Buddhism. And if you want to follow Christianity, it's up to you. As long as we are sincere, as long as we sincerely believe what our religion tells us, and as long as we practice sincerely what our religion tells us, we will get to God. Well, for 23 years, I was a Hindu. Now, I wasn't perfect, but I was sincere. I firmly believed the teachings that my gurus gave me. I believed it. I don't think I ever, until right towards the end when I began to discover the Bible, but until that point, I don't think I ever questioned that Krishna was Lord and salvation was through works and reincarnation. All the doctrines of Hinduism, I was sincere and I was lost. I was sincere and I was on my way to hell. Because sincerity doesn't save, Christ saves. Sincerity doesn't take away my sins. And sincerity doesn't remove the anger of God and cleanse me from the filth of my sin and take me out of slavery. Sincerity doesn't do this. Christ alone saves. We must preach Christ because he alone is the way of salvation. Are you unsaved tonight? Perhaps you've come to this church and you're not a Christian. And perhaps you've thought to yourself, as long as I believe certain things sincerely, and as long as I do my best to live a good life, I don't do harm to other people and I'm not going around doing destructive behavior and so on, as long as I live a pretty decent, moral, upright life, God will see what I've done and I'll be okay. And I say to you, you're on your way to hell. Your efforts will never save you. Christ alone saves. 3 days after he died, God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. And when God raised him from the dead, God was making a statement. God was saying, him and him only have I sent forth as the Savior. That's what the resurrection meant. The resurrection was God the Father saying, I will only accept sinners through one way, my Son, whom I have raised from the dead. He alone is the Savior. I will accept no other way. And so we must preach Christ crucified because he is the only way to salvation. But there's a second reason why we must preach Christ and him crucified. And it is this. Because it brings glory to God. It brings glory to God. What is the ultimate purpose of mission? Well, it's wonderful to see sinners saved. It's wonderful to see lives changed. It's wonderful to see lives transformed and people's lives bettered. Undoubtedly, that's a great thing. But the ultimate goal of mission is the glory of God. And if we don't keep that in mind, we actually won't be engaged in mission in a way that pleases Him. We must always keep this in mind. And I don't just talk about missionaries, I talk about all Christians. What is your goal when you go to work tomorrow? That God might be glorified. And how is God glorified? Well, God is glorified when the full extent of His love and His grace and His mercy is displayed. Because that is the glory of God. When we see the love of God in its full depth, when we see the grace of God in its full extent, when we see the mercy of God in its fullest extent, that is when God is glorified. And there's only one place where the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God is displayed at its greatest extent, and that is the cross of Calvary. Yes, the love of God is displayed in your life. And yes, the love of God is displayed when God providentially works in your life and answers prayer. And you see wonderful things happening in your life, and that's wonderful. But actually, Calvary is where we see the love of God. Because Calvary is the place of grace. Calvary is God the Father saying to a sinful world, I am willing to sacrifice my own Son that you might have forgiveness and cleansing and redemption and reconciliation. God is glorified when the cross of Christ is preached. And He is glorified as in no other way when His Son is set forth to all as the Savior of the world. You want to glorify God? Speak about the cross of Calvary. Because you're speaking about the love of God displayed to the world. What does it mean to preach Christ crucified? It means to preach His saving work. Why must we preach Christ crucified? He's the only way of salvation. And this is the way in which we glorify God. And then my third question. What happens? What is the outcome? When we are determined, when we are resolved, like Paul was, to preach Christ and Him crucified. Well, again, there are two things, two main outcomes of this exercise of preaching Christ and Him crucified. Firstly, those who are in their sins will come to Him in faith and receive salvation. We will never see conversions if we don't preach Christ. No sinner will ever get saved until or unless he hears the message of the cross. It's so obvious. Because if He is the only way of salvation, and He is, then surely when people hear of Him and when people hear it explained to them why Jesus died, what His death means, that is surely when God uses the preaching of His word to the salvation of sinners. Why is it? Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it that sometimes, and I hope it doesn't happen very often, churches seem to have everything in place, great music and superb buildings, but they just don't seem to see what we would call genuine biblical conversions, where lives are revolutionized and people who lived in sin now live for the glory of God? And I think it's usually because amongst all the fineries, the cross is missing. If we preach Christ crucified, we will see conversions. But the second outcome of preaching Christ crucified is this, that those who are saved will be encouraged and built up in their faith and will live lives that honor and glorify Him. When I was a young Christian, I'm almost embarrassed to say that because it was almost 30 years ago that I became a Christian. When I was a young Christian, I used to think that in order to get saved, you have to go to the cross of Calvary. And that is true, of course. And I used to think that once you've received your salvation at the cross, once you've received the forgiveness of your sins and you've been redeemed from slavery to Hinduism and you've been removed from the wrath of God and cleansed in the blood of Jesus, you leave the cross behind and you begin to make progress in your Christian life so that the cross is further and further away from you and you're moving further and further away from it into this wonderful, victorious Christian life. That's how I used to think. And may God be praised, it didn't take me very long to realize that actually the only place God wants me to be is at the foot of the cross. And if I ever move away from the foot of the cross, I'm moving away from God. Because the glory of God is displayed at the cross. So it's not the case that you receive your salvation at the cross and then you move on in your Christian life, leaving the cross behind. The fact is, you go to the cross, you seek salvation at the cross, you receive salvation at the cross, and you stay at the cross, you live your life under the shadow of the cross, you serve God, you obey God, you glorify God at the cross. And may God help us never to leave the cross in our thinking, in our prayers, in our meditation, in our Christian lives. Because the cross is where we find comfort. The cross is where we find encouragement. The cross is where we find power. The cross is where we find the ability to live the Christian life. Do you remember these words that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians? And he said this, he'd been saved a number of years when he wrote these words. And he said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now listen to this. The life I live in the body, my daily life, my day-to-day life, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can you see what Paul is saying there? Paul is saying to his readers, to the Galatians, he's saying, my brothers, if you want to have an insight into my daily thinking, you want insight into my daily life. How do I live my life? I live my life under the shadow of the cross. I consider myself to have died to sin and died to this world. And I live by faith in the Son of God who sacrificed himself for me. In other words, my daily faith is in the crucified and risen Savior. And that is why Paul was able to serve God with such distinction. It's not because he was able to leave the cross and progress into some higher life. It's because he was able to enter deeply into the experience of the cross, to understand it more, and to apply to himself more and more day by day. And as he applied the cross to himself, so he received power and enabling to live the Christian life. Perhaps you're a Christian and you're struggling with some sin. You're struggling with some situation in your life and you think, this one, it's there and I just cannot seem to overcome it. A situation at work, a situation in your family life. And you think, how do I live the Christian life through this issue and deal with it in such a way that God is honored in the way that I've dealt with this issue in my life? And I say to you, go back to the cross and look at what the Savior did, because Christ glorified the Father at the cross and we glorify the Father at the cross of Calvary. So, brethren, I commend the resolution that Paul made. Paul said, I resolve to know nothing except Christ and him crucified. And I say to you as a church, and I say to you as individuals, as you go into the world tomorrow, and you seek to live lives that honor and please God and commend the Savior, I say to you, make this resolution that you will speak of the cross and you will live the cross in your lives. And in that way, you will bring glory to God just as our Savior did. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the cross of Calvary. And we thank you that it is there that we see your love and your grace and your mercy and the salvation that you offer to us. We pray today, Lord, for those in our congregation for whom the cross has no meaning or very little meaning. And we pray, our Father, that by your Spirit you might draw them to yourself through the crucified and risen Savior. We pray for all your children today. And we pray, our Father, that we would meditate on the cross. We would think much of the cross. That we would apply the cross to our lives. We would consider ourselves crucified to this world through the cross of Christ. That we might live lives that honor you and bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.